Guyton.
And I'm Mike Grant.
And you're listening to the GD Podcast, an informal but insightful conversation about sports, pop culture, beer, and the like. Follow us on Twitter at the GD Podcast, or you can shoot us an email at the GD Podcast at gmail.com. For a holiday edition episode, Mike and I are going to talk about the NFLs. We had the Week 17, check in on the Caps and Rangers in the NHL, talk a little bit MLB Hot Stove. We'll review Catching Fire and talk about Season 3 of Homeland in the Pop Culture Corner. And then Mike will bring us home with some holiday beer suggestions and Mike's Beer Blast. Mike, how you doing today?
Doing good, man. Once again, it's been too long.
Yes, yes, this is good. It's a good way to say goodbye, I guess, to 2013.
This is our year-end show.
Yeah, I know. This is pretty crazy.
Maybe we can pop one in before the new year, but yeah. I'm not sure.
Okay, we'll see how it goes. We're recording this the Monday after week 16, and your Skins, and they lost another tough game, 1 point, but with their stats, it seems it's less about what's going on the field, it's more with them what's off the field, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's always just a circus around D.C., and, you know, I'm starting to get kind of fed up with it. Dan Snyder is just such a jackass sometimes, and it's so annoying to have to deal with that team. I mean, it's been 20 years in the running now that I've had to deal with this stuff since they've actually been good. And, like, I barely remember it when I was little when my dad used to watch the games all the time. It's just getting, you know, and at first it all came out that, you know, Shanahan didn't like RG3 and, you know, there was unrest in the locker room because he was getting preferential treatment by Snyder.
I heard about that.
And at first I was like, I don't know, this just seems all too much. You know, a couple inside reporters wrote some stories on it. But now obviously something's not right and it's a complete disaster.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So now you bench your star quarterback for the rest of the season and your excuse is you don't want him to get hurt. Meanwhile, you're playing him on one leg just a short year ago.
Oh, exactly, yep.
So, once again, I think as much as Snyder had his hands off, it looked like he had a pretty big part in getting RG3 to D.C. And it seems like, you know, Shanahan, obviously Cousins seems a little bit more comfortable throwing the ball.
It does look like that, yeah.
Yep. You know, obviously, you know, an RG3 is hurt. But, you know, I think part of it, the blame is RG3, too. He's the one that signed on for the Adidas commercial, said he'd be ready week one, which is just a ludicrous statement. And, you know, that's why he's so good, is because of the big ego he has. But if he, you know, it would have been interesting to see how this season would have panned out if they would have waited till week 6 or 7 to have RG3 come back.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Or ride Cousins out in the beginning of the season and just say, you know, it's second major knee injury. We're going to take care of this guy. Sit him for as long as comfortable. And, you know, what, like they did Derrick Rose with the Bulls.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do a similar situation. And, yeah, if Cousins has a great year, then you decide. You make the decision of whether you want to keep RG3 or go the Cousins route, you know. So, of course, the Redskins did it the worst possible way and made a complete disaster and circus out of it. And
everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong with that.
Oh, my gosh, it's unbelievable. And I'm just so sick of it. And like we were talking this morning, we have a horrible season. All it is doing is helping your draft pick. It doesn't help us at all.
Yeah, because the last first-round pick the Rams get from the RG3 trade.
So, once again, another year down the tube, another complete disaster and circus show.
That's unbelievable. Do you think Shanahan will be back next season?
I mean, I can't imagine he won't be.
Yeah.
Big rumors now is my boy Bill O'Brien going to D.C. I hope Bill O'Brien stays at Penn State. He's such a good thing for that program. I mean, last year it was, you know, heavy rumors with the Eagles job and everything.
That's right, yeah.
So I think it's going to happen every year. It's just how long we can weather the storm at Penn State to keep that guy around because he's done some incredible things with that program with what he's gone through.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, I expect Shanahan to not be around. And obviously he goes. I think Kyle goes. And I think we need a new defensive coordinator. I think we need a new special teams coordinator.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's a complete disaster.
Yeah, I could see Snyder just cleaning house.
Yeah. You think of 5 years into the Shanahan regimen, we'd be ready to go.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Have a chance at a Super Bowl, but it's the complete opposite.
Yeah.
And honestly, don't expect any less from the Skins.
Sure. It's
living in Baltimore now, seeing how they run their organization, it's almost to the point where I might start cheering for the Ravens, bro.
I wouldn't blame you. Like we were saying, I think a lot of people probably have in our area probably done that where it's like sick of it. Yeah.
It's just a complete disaster. So.
And yeah, the Ravens are very well run and
yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens in the off season, and you know, now there's a quarterback controversy, I'm sure, because I'm sure Cousins will have another okay game.
Yeah.
You could tell by the end of the season that RG3 was just not there with the passing game. Everyone says that, you know, the off season hurt him a lot, which I agree, so we'll see what he can do with a healthy off season, and there might be a QB competition at the end of next year, or the beginning of the next season. So.
Could be, especially if there's a new head coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
It was funny yesterday when I went to pick up my food for football. The guy, you know, saw me with my Bradford jersey on.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you know, if the Skins had the first pick, what, who do you want to get? And I said, I wouldn't mind if they traded it again.
Yeah.
And this guy goes, oh, we'll take it. He's a Skins fan. Oh, we'll take it again. I'm like, that'll put you right back where you started if you trade for that first pick again, you know?
Yeah. We don't want to do that again.
No, I mean, it'd be tempting to get like a high, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's going to cost. You know, it's going to cost the Kings ransom to get the first overall pick, I would think, again.
Yeah. Why would you want to deal with that?
So I just had to chuckle. I know that they had to show me the frustration that the Skin fan has if they'd be willing to do this all over again.
Yeah, one of the only bright spots I think I can think of this season is we got Jordan Reed. That dude's going to be a complete beast.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Alfred Morris had another pretty good season. And Pierre Garçon, I think, is the real deal, had a really good season. Arakpo seemed to pick it up there towards the end, but our secondary is young. Hopefully they can get better and just develop as players. But yeah, having some money for free agency this year will help out.
That'll
a
help.
Lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And we'll see what they do. But I got pretty disgusted there towards the end of the season. I actually watched the whole game yesterday. But it's the same thing, you know. You're up 9 points in the third quarter, and it's inevitable. You know that they're gonna lose it. I knew it was gonna happen. I knew it, and now once again, blown coverage, dude, just wide open. Let them run down the field.
That was unbelievable.
And then and the special teams were ridiculous again. Just horrible, bad special teams. So, I mean, the bright spot is it looks like Cousins can play if he had some time. So we'll see what happens in the offseason.
Yeah.
Can't get here soon enough.
I know what you mean. So that game you're referring to kept the Cowboys season alive because the Eagles won. The Eagles have to go to Big D next week. So it's crazy to think in the NFC, none of the divisions are settled yet.
I know.
They're
all
up for grabs going into next week. So what do you think? Do you think the Eagles can go in there and beat the Cowboys on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, after they just dismantled Chicago last night, I think the Eagles are the better team. And you know, until you see Dallas not buckle under pressure, it seems like they always do, you really can't believe in them.
I know, yeah.
So, offense-wise, it seems like Philly's clicking a lot better than the Cowboys. So
yeah, I agree, yeah.
We'll see, and it looks like their defense actually picked it up last game. So,
yes, yeah.
You know, I think on paper you still will want to pick Dallas, but, you know, it's whoever's playing the better football at the time. And, you know, over the last 3 or 4 weeks, it looks like the Eagles have really picked it up and could make a fight to run deep in the playoffs.
Yeah, I just last week watching the Cowboys play that game, the Green Bay, with Matt Flynn playing, I was at home, too.
Come on, man.
And then they, you know, barely squeaked past the Skins. They just want to go home, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they won 3 games, and they needed that last second, you know, last minute touchdown. It's just like they're just not playing very well. And
yeah, Dallas easily should have shown up and pulled a Kansas City on us and beat us, you know, 40-7.
Yeah, they had everything to play for, and they still barely squeaked it out.
Yeah,
and their defense just is not very good. And I just think it's gonna be a handful for the Cowboys, the Eagles offense, because when they played them in Philly earlier in the season. Foles got hurt. They played a better part of that game against Matt Barkley. So,
And Foles is on fire, man.
He's
having
good.
A crazy. He's having one of the better seasons. He's only played half the season, or not much more than half the season.
Yeah. So it's the Sunday night games. That's gonna be good. I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
That's crazy. And also crazy is that the Packers are still in a mix despite not having a...
The good old Pack. So what's the status on Rodgers? Do you know?
I don't think he... I'm not sure because they kept making it seem like he was close every week.
Yeah.
And then I saw a thing on the scroll that he... There was a source that he was never close, so...
Yeah. I'm sure they did that just to get the other team scared, but... Yeah, I don't know what you do without Aaron Rodgers. You just can't expect them to do much.
I know, yeah. And it's the fact that they going into this last week, they still have a puncher's chance is pretty crazy.
Yeah, that is pretty nuts.
Because the Bears could have clinched it last night if they beat the Eagles, but I was actually shocked how badly the Bears played with everything on the line again.
Yeah. So, and I mean, the Bears have some weapons there, too. But, you know, I've never been sold on Jay Cutler.
No, yeah. You know?
And he just, once again, just didn't have a good game. It's almost like, do you put Josh in there? But
yeah,
I don't know if you can really do that either. So, I mean, they got two freaks in nature at wide receiver.
They do, yeah.
There's
yeah.
no reason he shouldn't be able to throw the ball to them every time and just dominate teams.
Yeah. But
he threw a couple bad pickles, and it was just an ugly game.
It really was, and it's just that's another Skins offseason will be interesting. Same with the Bears, because I think Cutler's a free agent.
Yeah.
So those are at Dallas Eagles and Green Bay and Chicago, two winning in games. That's really good. But yeah, I thought once Rodgers was out, the Packers were just going to be done. But I guess they got some help because Cutler's been out. Although the Bears have actually played better.
Yeah,
it was out. So.
Actually, they played great. That's what people were saying is, why don't you just let Josh ride it out until he has a one bad game?
Yeah, which he never had. So yeah, so I'm. I think they'll beat the Packers without Rodgers, but who knows? I mean, who knows?
Looking at everything in the NFC, the thing that surprises me is the Cardinals still have a shot to make the playoffs.
Yeah, they've had a good year.
That's pretty wild, so.
Carson Palmer.
Yeah, good old Carson Palmer, old faithful.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You know,
One of those USC of, like, the ridiculous year where every quarterback came out of USC went to the NFL.
Yep.
So.
He's played well, and you know they got Bruce Arians a good coach. He did a great job with the Colts last year when Pagano got sick. So
yeah.
They obviously have a good coach there. And it's funny to think that they could win 11 games this year and not make the playoffs.
I know, that's crazy.
Just shows you how good the NFC is. So that's I'd say either the Cardinals or the Panthers is probably my biggest surprise this season.
Yeah, and the Panthers look pretty legit. You know,
yeah,
so we'll see what happens.
Because I thought they started like 1-3 or 1-4 or something like that, and they really turned it on.
They pulled a Skins, you know, came out horrible, and then just ripped off some late season wins.
It's now the Saints, they're fighting for their playoff lives.
Yeah, they are. That's crazy, too. I mean, and it's crazy to think all these are really good teams, like, playing for for a playoff spot. So it should be a good postseason.
Yes, I think it just goes to show how deep the NFC is, whereas the AFC, I think it's funny, the NFC, no divisions are settled yet, but in the AFC, all the divisions are settled.
Yeah.
And it's really just a battle for that sixth seed.
Yeah, and the sixth seed, I mean,
it's going to be
of a disaster.
I think it's definitely going to be an 8-8 team, I think, will get that last spot.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, Pittsburgh, I can't believe Pittsburgh. I mean, Pittsburgh needs a lot of help to get in. But
they need a lot of help.
But
they
the fact that they're
win.
Still...
When you have to win and three other teams have to lose, that's never the situation you want to be.
No, not at all.
Yeah, it looks like Baltimore's kind of, or Cincinnati to Baltimore and Cincinnati got better chances. So we'll see what happens. But the Baltimore look like crap against New England.
Yeah, we were talking about how we were surprised that game got flexed out of the 8:30 slot. And
yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah, and then it ended up being a dud.
Yeah, both of them are duds. So
yeah,
that was a lose-lose situation for them.
They were better off the Dallas Skins game.
Yeah, I mean, once again, San Diego, I feel like, is the West Coast version of Dallas.
Yep.
You know, they just...
Lots of talent.
The AFC version of Dallas.
Yep.
They got lots of talent, and they always underperform. Pittsburgh just has looked horrible all season, so I don't expect anything from them. You know, I like Miami and Baltimore... I think are the two teams that I think got a chance of getting in there, but I'm not sure who's going to be the winner.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I'm looking at this now, it looks like I mean, it's funny. No one really. There's no straight up winning in for that last spot. I mean, Baltimore's got to win, and the Chargers have to lose.
Yeah.
Or the Dolphins have to lose. You know, Dolphins have to win and some help. Yeah, everyone needs to win and some help. It's really weird.
Yeah, it is. It's a bizarre situation. But it looks like, I don't know, Kansas City might be sitting all their people, so...
That's a good point, yeah.
San Diego still might have a chance to do it.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I think the hardest matchup there is the Bengals play the Ravens, right?
Yes, it's in Cincy as well, so...
Yeah, so they're probably have the toughest road ahead, so... Yeah.
And since they can still clinch a bye, so they're going to play their guys.
They're definitely going to play for all the marbles. Yep. So that'll probably be one of the better games of the whole Sunday.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then obviously the Eagles and Dallas game will be pretty darn good too.
Yeah, I think that was a pretty easy pick for the league to which game to go with for Sunday night football. So yeah, man. It's fun. It's fun when it gets down to week 17 and there's still stuff to play for.
Yeah, it seems like it's been good the last couple seasons. So I like that. I like when teams are more evenly matched, and it's, you know, as long as you show up and play good football towards the end, that anybody really has a chance.
Yeah.
So I mean, you look at some of the teams here. You know, you got Carolina, and then Kansas City. How many wins they have last year?
Only a few, right?
Yeah, it's like two or three wins last year, you know? So it's good to see teams bounce back like that and be able to turn it around just in 1 year.
Yep, and it shows you, with KC, it shows you how big of a difference it can make to have a coach and a quarterback, you know?
Yep.
Getting Alex Smith and Andy Reid in there, I mean, it just can really make all the difference in the world.
And like you said, Alex Smith isn't a superstar. He just knows how to manage
a game. He doesn't turn the ball over much, and that's why he had success under Harbaugh in San Fran as well.
I think that I'm sure they have at the top of the plus-minus differential there, too. I mean, you see, continue to look at that list every year. The top five teams are always pretty much in the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely. So it's good to see them get in there. Carolina as well, they've been out of the playoffs since, I think it was, I saw, since the 08 season was the last time they were in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's always fun to see different teams.
Absolutely.
Different teams get in there. So yeah, it's gonna be a fun week 17 and good playoffs.
Yeah, man.
So we'll see how that goes, and hopefully I'm really interested to see how the Skins off season goes.
Any last parting words on your Rams?
Well, I guess they officially exceeded my expectations. I picked them to go 6-10, and they won they won their seventh game yesterday. I thought maybe they'd have a shot because I thought Seattle would be able to sit everybody, but they're still got to play. So
so
I was like, oh, maybe they'll go 8-8, but it looks like they'll probably go 7-9, which is right about where I thought they'd be.
Yeah, when you're playing at Seattle, it's never an easy task.
Exactly. So, you know, after Bradford went down and their playoff hopes kind of dimmed, they still played hard, and that's all you can really ask for.
Yeah.
And it's just they're a weird team, how they could get blown out, but then they'll blow it. They blow out the Colts, they blow out the Bears, they blow out the Saints. So it's weird how they can just go out and beat these really good teams, and part of me thinks if they were in a different division, they might actually be a playoff team.
Yeah, if they were in the NFC East, they'd be looking pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny to see Washington Giants last game of the season not mean anything.
Just
horrible teams. That doesn't happen often, so... it's been a real crappy year for me, a little better year for you.
Yeah, but definitely promising. So we'll see. And that's another thing I'm curious to see is, you know, however the Redskins end up, you know, the Rams get that pick, what they do with it, if they're interested in drafting someone, or if they trade for a bunch of picks again.
Yeah.
Which I'd be in favor of, because that's how you really build your team, because with the salary cap and stuff, you really build teams with good drafting.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is one of those years that, like, I just... There was so much hype around the Skins in the beginning of the
season.
There
was, yeah, oh yeah.
And for it to go in the complete opposite direction, it was difficult to watch.
Yeah.
It was really difficult to watch. I stopped caring after they lost that game at Minnesota. After that, I was like, I'm done with this team.
Yeah.
This is just ridiculous.
That was a bad loss.
You know, so. And it always seems, you know, you get, Dan Snyder seems to do it. I remember... back in the Spurrier days when they got Steve Spurrier,
and he was
going to be the next best thing in
offensive
the NFL.
Offensive genius,
genius.
What was it? The fun and gun. He called us offense.
Running gun.
Yeah, yeah.
Friday, yeah, fun and gun. Yeah, I mean it was just. They time and time again they do it to me, Joey.
Yeah.
They do it.
Yeah. Who? It's. I think the only.
Fun and gun.
Owner who's worse as far as like meddling in football stuff is Jerry Jones, probably.
Yeah, man. And yeah, they're in the same similar situation, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Be good and or not. And so yeah, but, I mean, I really would be surprised if they beat the Eagles next weekend.
Yeah.
So I really think the Eagles are by far playing better football, and should win the game.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too. I think I not like what I've seen from Dallas's defense for a while now.
The only thing they got going is it is at home.
Is at home, so, yep. Oh, yeah.
You know, they were the Redskins were at home when they beat Dallas last year, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, yeah, it was in D.C., yep.
Being at home, we'll see what happens.
Yep, it'll be good.
Yeah.
It'll be good. And speaking of D.C., we'll move on to the hockey here. Caps have been, and I think they lost their last game. They've been playing pretty well as of late.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I haven't watched a ton of Caps game. Not having NHL Network is really killing me right now, so I can't just even watch the recap.
Yeah.
NHL on the Fly was my show of choice.
That's a good one. I
loved watching that all the time. but, yeah, they had a heartbreaker to the Flyers, and there was a huge five-minute major, I think.
Yes, that, yeah, yeah.
I don't know, it was kind of a dicey call, they're saying.
Yeah, because so. I think the guy in the Flyers, I think he kind of turned.
Yeah, he turned a little bit before he hit him in the back. So, but yeah, overall, as of late, they've been playing pretty good. Huge game tonight. They play Anaheim.
That's right, here, so, right? I think I saw that, yeah. Yep.
Bruce coming back home, so that should be good. I'll probably watch that tonight.
Sure.
But yeah, I think everything's locked up, but you know, they're just... Everyone's saying maybe one more solid defenseman would really make the team solidified and really give them a shot to run it to the, all the way to the cup. So, but if they keep it up, they'll definitely be in the playoffs. And,
yeah.
And then we'll see what happens in the playoffs. They always usually disappoint me, like usual. All my sports teams usually disappoint me. But, no, hopefully they can do something better this year. Ovechkin's having a hell of a year.
Yeah, I saw he's, like, averaging close, almost a goal a game. What have you seen from him this year that's kind of...
You know, it's just the energy's back. You know, when you watch him, you can just see skating with passion. It just seems like he cares. I think Oatsy really is kind of connected with him. You can tell, you know, when during the Hunter short tenure that things just weren't right and it wasn't clicking and... I think he really just wasn't buying into the system, but you can tell it seems like all the guys, other than Erat's, disappointing. I don't know why he keeps insisting on playing him on the fourth line and not giving him a better chance, because he's a good player. But the rest of the guys seem like they're pretty happy and all believe in what they're doing. And if you have that and you got buy-in from the locker room, you know, sky's the limit. I think you can do whatever.
Yeah, it's a good combo, buying in. With talent,
yeah,
it's really good, because I know my Rangers are kind of in the spot the Caps were last year, where new coach, new system, and it's just really been struggling. They had this big 9-game homestand, which is supposed to kind of catapult them. They just haven't won many games on it.
Yeah,
they beat Minnesota last night, which is hopefully that's a jump start for them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you don't realize, you forget how tough, especially when you have a total opposite coach come in.
Oh yeah, it's really tough, and you know the Caps went through their growing pains last year, but, you know, I think you can't say enough about just a year of a full system underneath your belt. And they had the, you know, the shortened year, too, so that didn't help them out.
Exactly. Yeah, less, you know, it was like no training camp, so.
Yeah. So, I think, we'll see what the Rangers can do, but I know Philly's kind of surging back, too. So it's interesting to see that. I mean, they were really bad there in the beginning of the season. And you can never count the Devils out. I mean, they've always just seemed to be a solid team there, even though, you know, they don't have crazy flashy players.
Exactly.
They just get the job done.
And so, yeah, it's just kind of shaping up. Like, when they first realigned the league, we kind of said this division's going to be really, really, really competitive. And I think it's shaping up to be that way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a lot of good teams. But, yeah, I think I'm hoping, we're closing on the halfway point, but hopefully the Rangers can get things kind of turned around and – I think there's a few things. One is that with Tortorella, they played a really, really disciplined in their defensive zone. Like, basically had five goalies in front of Lundqvist.
Yep. Yes, and, they did. Yeah. And he used to frustrate the heck out of me.
Oh, yeah. Now with their new coach, Vigneault, it's kind of – he's more – they almost like more like freelance in the defensive zone, and it's kind of leaving Lundqvist exposed. So it's been just a – because he went, like, I think three or four games in a row giving up three goals plus, which you just never see out of him.
Yeah, that never happens.
So I think Vigneault's kind of realizing, you know, he even said publicly, he goes, I don't have the guys to play my system.
Yeah, which is just never, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's just never good. But yep. So hopefully he's adapting, because you got to kind of work with what you have.
Yeah.
You can't expect.
That's basically what Shanahan was saying about RG3, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it happens in any sport. If your coach, you know, and you would think the coaches would be smart enough to adjust their system to what they have.
Exactly, yeah.
And, you know, I think that's where the best coaches come from. That's why Bill Belichick is Bill Belichick. He makes it work with what he has.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, but then you get stubborn people like the Shanahans and other people. They just don't want to adapt their systems.
Yeah, because I watched that a lot when Mike Martz coached the Rams.
Yeah.
He wanted to win his way, high-flying offense, no matter what. You know, even those guys got injured, and, you know, he just was like, I want to win my – I'd rather lose, you know, playing my way than win adjusting. And it's just so frustrating, you know.
Yeah, that's very frustrating. Well, hopefully they can pick it up, man. But like I said, I'm feeling pretty comfortable about the Caps right now. I think they'll be able to keep on pulling out some pretty solid wins, and I'm excited to watch them tonight.
Yeah. I know, because I think the Rangers had their last pre-Christmas game, too, against the Leafs. And I was going to say, HBO coverage, because the Leafs are on 24/7 right now for the Winter Classic. So I'll get to see a few, when I watch that episode, I'll get a few snippets of that.
Now, when does that start? I don't have HBO this year. I'm a little disappointed.
I think they aired their first episode a week or so. So it's currently airing now. Yeah. So
that's such a great series.
It really is. It's just a good look at these guys and what they do on and off the ice.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, that was such a great – I'm so glad when they did the Winter Classic, they started doing that.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. Sure, especially for you when the Caps were in it.
Yeah. It was fantastic.
And the Rangers played the Flyers, so it was really interesting to watch your team behind the scenes like that.
Yeah, it was awesome. And then the Winter Classic's at the Big House this year,
they're
going to have tons of people in the stadium.
Oh, yeah, yep.
Should be a really cool experience.
That will be good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And I'm debating if I want to go to New York. The Rangers have they're doing their stadium series, where they have a couple games at Yankee Stadium.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, one of them's, I think, the 26th of January or something like that. So
that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, so I might do that. That's the week between the NFC Championship games and Super Bowl. It's like the off week, so that would be perfect to go.
That would be cool.
So we'll see about that. But, and also, I think the Rangers are down here on Friday night.
They are.
Yeah.
I'll be in San Diego, though.
Yeah, I'll be up in Jersey. I was like, oh, I saw that. Darn, if I had been here, I definitely would have tried to.
Yeah, we could have gone
to that game. But hopefully we'll see them in they'll be back for the playoffs or something.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, they've met the last 5 years, so. Wouldn't be surprised if they were in the playoffs against each other again.
Yeah, I would like to play a different team, but
yeah, I can understand that. Yeah, I'm the same way. So we'll see how things go as we close towards the halfway point of the NHL. I'm gonna take a few minutes to chalk a little winter baseballs. You know, last time we talked, I don't think Cano had signed with another team yet. He hadn't left the Yankees yet, so now he's with the Mariners. And I was really torn on this because he's their best player, and now they have a cavity the size of Texas in their lineup without him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the Mariners paid him 10 years, $240 million.
Yeah.
I just know the Yankees didn't want to give him another 10-year contract after the A-Rod debacle. So so it was weird. Like, I was mad that he left, but at the same time, I understood why the Yankees were kind of, you know.
They didn't pull a typical Yankee move,
I know.
Right?
Yeah, they usually the overpaying. It's weird because you never see anyone leave the Yankees in their prime like that.
Yeah.
This is usually what the Mariners did with what the Yankees usually do other teams. They take their best player and pay him the most money, and you know, so it was disappointing, but I kind of applaud them for standing their ground.
Have they filled the gap yet, or are they talking about who they're going to try to go after?
Well, as far as offense goes, they signed Jacoby Ellsbury from the Red Sox, and they signed Carlos Beltran, who's a free agent. So it's two good bats in the lineup, and then to play second base, they signed Brian Roberts from the O's.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So the big thing is if he can hold up for a whole season.
Yeah, if he can stay healthy.
He's a decent player,
it's pretty tough for that guy to stay healthy, though.
It is, it really
but, is. But, you know, it's like all of my sports teams, too. They'll leave and they'll be superstars somewhere else. You know? I mean, inevitably, that's what's going to happen is they're going to trade RG3 for some ludicrous deal, and he's going to go to some other team, and
just
he's going to go into the Hall of Fame.
Light it up, exactly, you know? Yeah. So it's weird with baseball because it's not a salary cap sport where the rest of them are. But with you, I mean, when Ovi is, obviously he's a 10-year contract, but just for argument's sake, if he was a free agent, would you want
want to see the Caps sign him at all costs to retain him, or would it really just, you know, depend on what he was asking?
Yeah, I mean, Ovi right now, it's kind of so up and down. It stinks. You got to look at his whole career, and I mean, he was just amazing as a rookie, but I think it just blows my mind, especially this year. They know exactly what he's going to do.
Yeah.
They know the shot. He's going to come up the wing, cut in, and then shoot from the side. And he does it every time, but he somehow is still scoring goals. And then a lot of it's power play goals, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, I think it's all dependent on how he's playing and if you think he's going to keep it up. If he kept on playing like he's playing this year, yeah, I'd probably put a good amount of money down. But if you put him side by side with like a Crosby, I feel like I'd go after a Crosby more than a Ovechkin. Even though most Caps fans won't want to hear that, but I think overall Crosby's just a better hockey player and a better dude.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think Crosby makes the guys around him better.
Yeah,
which exactly. I don't think Ovechkin necessarily does that.
No, yeah. And that's a great point, and I think. When you have somebody like that does, you know, is a true leader. I think they gave him the C patch. You know, I don't think he really ever earned it. You know, he was just like, oh, he's the highest paid player. Everybody knows who Ovechkin is, so we give him the C. That kind of pissed me off when he got it because it just didn't seem like he really earned it yet.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. Yeah, that definitely a guy that makes everybody better is what you're looking for. And, I don't think Ovi's there. But yet, although, I mean, this season it seems like he's been doing a good job to help energize the entire team.
Yeah, that's fair. So, yeah, so I think that's the same thing the Yankees saw with Cano. It's just, good player. And, I mean, it's funny because Cano said he felt disrespected by the Yankees. I'm thinking, I wish someone disrespected me and offered me $175 million,
yeah,
you know?
I mean, come on, man.
So I just had to laugh at that. I mean, I thought, they offered him 7 years, $175. I thought it was a very...
Yeah,
but I think Cano wanted the 10 years. He didn't want to go through this again, which is fair, you know.
Yeah,
he knows he wanted, you know, this is his last contract. He'll probably have to negotiate, so he wanted to make sure it was for the rest of his career. And we'll see how it plays out for both sides. I mean, I think the Yankees are going to miss him because I say like Ellsbury and Beltran are both good players, but just, you know, Cano is leaps and bounds. You know, one of the best hitters in the league.
Yeah,
but I think I'm curious how Cano, you know, does out there because I think he's obviously getting more money, but there's nothing like playing. For a team like the Yankees, so you know we're going to be in contention every year.
Absolutely.
But if the paycheck's all he's concerned about, then he obviously made the right play.
Yeah.
And I also got to give credit to, you know, JC's first big client there. Got a pretty awesome contract. So
yeah.
Maybe him and his group have this sports agent thing down after all.
Oh, JC.
That's so weird that he's still, you know, involved in, instead of a sports agency group like that. It's just so bizarre.
It is bizarre.
He's definitely he's a visionary though. He's definitely got his so many
pies. I mean, I heard a report about it. It makes sense. Hollywood is kind of their paychecks as actors and actresses are getting smaller and smaller every year. Where sports, sports contracts are getting bigger and bigger.
Every year. I can see that.
So it makes sense to kind of follow where the money's going.
Sure, absolutely. And speaking of Hollywood, if you talk a little. Little pop culture. We saw Catching Fire recently.
Yes, we did.
What did you think about that one?
So did you read the books?
I did. I read the first two. Yeah, I read.
Yeah, I think the second book was my favorite book. And it's always you watch the movie after reading the book. The book seems to be always better every time. But I thought they did a better job this time of kind of picturing what I pictured in the book of how the games worked.
Yep.
And I just thought, you know, how they did the different, you know, acid fog and all the other elements that came to try to harm them while they were in the game. I thought they did a good job depicting that. And it seemed, you know, I talked to people who hadn't read the books and they did a good job of kind of hinting at that, you know, this revolution was coming, that something was up.
Yep.
So, I mean, knowing the book, I knew it was coming, but it would have been interesting to watch it without reading the book to be able to see if you could pick up on
those hints,
on the hints that were happening. So, but apparently everyone I talked to that hadn't read the book, they got it and it made sense. They knew something was coming.
That's a good thing then,
So yeah, I thought they did a good job, and you can't get enough Jennifer Lawrence on the screen either.
I know, exactly. Yeah, so. Absolutely. Yeah, she's so good. Yeah, I like the movie too, and I thought what you said was accurate about it. The movie kind of painted the picture the book was trying to set.
Yep.
Especially with the whole like clock mm-hmm. thing with the island, you know.
Yeah, they did a good job representing the clock and yeah, and how it switched, changed times, and then they knew something else. Other horrible, bad thing was going to happen to try to get them basically all to the middle to start fighting again.
Yeah. So yeah. So I thought it was good because you know sometimes a book you know you watch a movie can be kind of a letdown.
Yeah.
How do you feel about them splitting the third book into two movies?
I mean, I think it's a little ridiculous. It's just you know another reason for them to make more money.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
but I honestly, I don't even remember the third book much. I mean, I remember it was okay, but I'm going to have to reread it again.
Yeah, that's but, I'm reading that one right now, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, they did that with The Hobbit, too, right?
Yeah, I think they did that. Twilight, I think they did it with. Yeah. Harry Potter.
Yeah. I think they should just put it in one, but, I mean, who knows? Sometimes it can work out, so... maybe they'll do a good job of it.
Yeah, I know. I remember like when we saw this one, there were things I remember about the book that were cut out of the movie. Yeah. So with making it two movies, you can probably yeah. give a little more leeway to leave more stuff in that way.
Yeah,
so.
I think separating into two, which is going to annoy me, is basically the first one's going to be about starting the revolution.
Yeah,
and then right when all heck's going to break loose,
yeah,
that's when the movie's going to yeah, end, and, the, and then and you're going to have to yeah. wait to part two.
Two. Yeah,
you know, so it's going to be a lot of just getting you hyped up for something you're not going to see.
Exactly. Yep.
So I'd much rather just have it all in one movie.
Movie. Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to worry about wait. Have to be waiting. So, and as far as other movie, any other movies you want to. See, they're coming out now during the holiday season.
I'm gonna go check out Anchorman. I heard I've heard mixed reviews, but everyone that I've talked to that I know said it's hilarious.
Yeah.
So, have you read any reviews about it?
I think the same issue. I think I've seen some that say, "Oh, it's really fun." Others say that it's you know,
it's just the same old.
Yeah. So I think it's just a mixed bag, but I definitely want to see that.
Yeah, I think we'll see that, and then I might go see The Hunger Games again because my wife really wants to see it.
Yeah, I might do. Yeah, same thing. Yeah. Yep.
And then the Ben Stiller movie.
Oh, The Secret Life of Life of Walter Mitty, I think.
Yeah,
like that. Yeah.
I really want to see that. I heard it's amazing.
That looks really cool, yeah.
So it's kind of right down my alley. I'm always thinking about how cool it would be to just mm-hmm. say screw it all and go explore.
Sure, yeah. It's a very cool concept.
So that'll be interesting to see. And I just saw Gravity. I mean, there wasn't a lot of story there, plot line or anything. But it was visually very impressive. I mean, that was one of the most immersive experiences I've ever had watching a movie, and it just looked really cool. But if you're not, you know, if space and stuff freaks you out, I think we have more of a job to go see the movie than actually enjoyment.
Sure, yeah.
You know, Kim came out and she said that was one of the most stressful things she's ever watched.
Oh, wow.
And it is, I can imagine it's nerve-wracking if you don't like that stuff.
Yeah.
Because at certain points you feel like you're right there. So, but it looked amazing, and it was a really, really cool experience.
Okay. Yeah, I'll
So if you like space, definitely go check it
out. I'll check that one out, yeah. That's good stuff, yeah.
Are you going to check any out?
I want to see American Hustle, speaking of Jennifer
Lawrence. Oh, yeah. That's the other one I want to see. I want to see that, too.
That's pretty good. And I am interested in seeing The Wolf of Wall Street, but I'm kind of nervous about that three-hour runtime, man. That's a long time to be sitting in a theater.
That's a long time. Wolf of Wall Street would be good. I wouldn't mind seeing Saving Mr. Banks, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I heard Tom Hanks does, like, a really, really good job. But, yeah, I think I'm going to put American Hustle on the list, too. Yeah. So I actually have some movies to talk about with you this time.
Yeah, how about that?
Usually don't.
Yeah, yeah, there's some good ones coming out this time. So, yeah, I always enjoy the good holiday movies. And lastly, pop culture-wise, just what did you think of this season of Homeland?
You know, I think it's kind of like the second season dragged on till the end. In this season, I felt like I watched a solid 7 or 8 episodes with really not a lot happening.
Sure, yeah.
And then the last 2 episodes were fantastic, and they were really exciting. But it's like, why can't every season and series be like Breaking Bad? Like, they just, like, I felt like every episode of that series, something at least relevant happened.
Yeah.
You know?
There's no filler or anything, yeah. Yeah.
And I think, you know, that was my biggest hit at Homeland. It was great towards the end. It was really cool. And I mean, I couldn't believe that, you know, they did what they did to Brody.
Sure, yeah.
So, and I didn't see that coming, right? I thought maybe they'd do it, but, yeah, having to wait 8 episodes to get to that point was really annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah, definitely seen there were some episodes that kind of were just kind of biding time till they got to that point.
Yeah.
And then with Brody, yeah, you're right. I think it probably was time.
Yeah.
I look forward to, you know, next year. They can kind of start fresh. I'm not sure what they'll do with Carrie and everything like that, but I feel like this gives an opportunity to a new threat. It's a new story. I thought that just after the first season, I felt like they could have killed off Brody after the first season.
Yeah, you know? And I think that what they did in the beginning, too, with, you know, Saul and everything, and you thought Saul was being an a-hole and, you know, wasn't helping Carrie out, and it was their master plan of getting everything together. I thought that was really cool. So that aspect was cool, but yeah, just the whole main plot story, and it just took way too long.
Yeah.
So, but, and I hope there's more Saul, because I still like Saul.
I think he's a great character.
He's a great character, so, the fact that he could not be there anymore, I mean, I don't know really I don't think Carrie can carry the show.
Yeah, I mean, Claire Danes is great, but I just feel like, it works best when you have other good, strong characters. Cause sometimes she can just be a little too far off the deep end. You know?
Yeah, so. That cry pouty face, man.
Oh, yeah.
Still can't get over that. She does that a lot.
She does, yeah.
I don't like the new director guy of the CIA.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah.
I just hate his character already.
Yeah. But I think that's probably what they're going for, too.
Yep.
Maybe root for Saul even more. Mm-hmm. You know? So, fun stuff. But, yeah, I agree with you. I thought it was a decent season. A little off at spots, but, you know, kind of found its way at the end, though.
Yeah, I got my mom the first 2 seasons for Christmas. I'm interested to see if she likes it or not.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that'll be good. See how she enjoys that. And then we'll wrap up as we head to the end of 2013. I don't know if you had any beer suggestions or recap of your Blue Jacket experience?
Yeah, so that's what I was going to talk about, is there's a place called Blue Jacket in D.C. Opened up a couple months ago, and it's a micro pub. They have food, but they brew their own beer, have their own kegging systems and brewing systems there. And it's in an old building down near the Navy Yard, renovated the inside of it. It's absolutely gorgeous. Went down there last week, and their beer was really good. Problem was, it was completely packed. It was impossible to get a beer. So once that wears off, I think they're open from like 11. They open up at 11 a.m. So if you can get there like 1 or 2 before the happy hour crowd, would be okay. But I had a stout. It was like a chili cinnamon stout called Mexican Radio that was absolutely delicious. Their standard IPA, tons of floral and citrus smelling flavors, and it tasted delicious, and it wasn't over hoppy. So they had a good amount. They had a real good, nice tart funky beer that tasted really good. So I highly recommend, if you get a chance to go there, if you can go during the non-peak hours, it would be a good experience. But, yeah, you go there after 5 o'clock for probably the next at least year, it's going to be a pretty miserable experience, unless you have a buddy that got there early and got you guys a table.
Okay, yeah.
Because it's just so packed, the waiters and waitresses can't even get to your table.
Jeez.
So it was a pretty miserable experience when it came to trying to get a beer. But the inside's really cool, and they make really good beer. I definitely recommend going there if you can get down there. As far as beers to drink, I'll just go to my staples of Founders, anything Founders, because it's stout. Barrel age season, you know, a lot of people drinking stouts right now. Goose Island just came out with a barley wine barrel aged beer, so that's a pretty good beer if you can get your hands on that. It comes in a 22 ounce, so yeah, definitely get anything from Founders if you see it out there. They make great dark beers, And the Goose Island Barrel Age Barley Wine. Should check it out if you see it on the shelves.
Okay. It's good stuff. I was glad we were able to do this, yeah, before the holiday started. So
absolutely.
We'd like to wish, you know, all the listeners a very happy holiday season. You know, you can always follow us on Twitter at the GD Podcast or shoot us an email at the GD Podcast.
Somebody out there, give us an email.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we'd love to do a listener mail segment where we can read the email and just answer questions. So yeah, definitely hit us up. We will talk to you New Year. For Mike Grant, I'm Joe Dighton. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you in 2014.